That's foundational to everybody, is to distinguish your spirit from your soul. It's easy to distinguish the body. The Greeks and all men understand the difference between body and soul. Psychosomatic. Psycho, soul, somatic, body. Soma is a Greek word meaning body. Psycha, or psycho, or psyche, is a Greek word meaning your soul. Now, I don't want to go into it deeply, but soul has three parts to it. The will, that's the chief part. The mind, that's the intermediate part, not the chief part. And then the emotions, that's the most insignificant part to most people, but since God made it, it can't be insignificant. Emotional happiness is the problem of the church. Okay, so that's the soul. So the body responds not to the heart, but to the soul. I told you that was the intermediate. So the best way to do it is to put three things in a row so we can distinguish everything. Joe, what three things can I move here without damaging anything? Can I use these? Okay. This will be the spirit. The spirit of the dolphin. This candle will be the soul. It has a little candle inside it. So we'll call that the emotions. We'll call this the mind. We'll call this the will, the plate. And this will be our body. This is where all the behavior comes from. Now, the body is your outer. This is the holy place, and that's the most holy. Holy of holies. So it's just like the temple. You have three parts, like the temple has three parts. Now, the Greeks knew nothing of the Holy of Holies. Why? Because they're natural, religious, psychosomatic people. So all the Greeks know, all men know. You don't have to be Greek. But all that natural man knows is soul and body. They know there's something inside, but they don't know there's something more. In other words, they don't know God. That's why they had a statue to an unknown God. And they knew he was the highest God, but he was unknown. So all they could know would be soul, which the knowing is in here, because I told you this was the mind. This little the big candle is the mind. The little bitty candle hidden inside here. This is the emotions. Now your emotions are extremely important, because if you were emotionally upset, unhappy, your behavior would reflect it. So you can't skip the emotions. Now most people who are brain people, who are head people, who are smart people, only have this big candle and they ignore their emotions. They suppress them, push them down. All legalists, all moral people push down their emotions. Why? Because immoral people, like those homosexuals down in New Orleans, they express their emotions. So they're happy. And their behavior shows it. They're smiling. Now, what happens to people that are happy and smiling is, without a foundation, it doesn't work. And pretty soon they're unhappy with the mayor, with, you know, their partner, with themselves. So homosexual people are never happy. They're only happy in the moment while they're sinning. But as soon as they stop sinning, they're unhappy again. So they live a quiet desperation. Nevertheless, emotions count. How could you worship God without your emotions? You should be emotionally happy all the time. And see, emotional happiness all the time indicates you know God. If you skip your emotions, you're skipping something God made. Now, most people feel that this is kind of the woman side of us, you know, the female side. Oh, they're so emotional. They're so emotional. You know, so if you're a smart woman, you're not so emotional. You control your emotions. But if you're a real woman, you don't. You just express them, you see, because it's too hard for a woman just to hold back. Peggy used to be totally unemotional, but I encouraged her to show her emotions. Now I can't get the genie back in the bottle. Yeah, just go ahead and say what you feel. Oh my gosh. Get back in the bottle. No, she won't do it. So I'm ruined now. Because I used to be the head and she was the emotion, so I could control her, but now she's out of it. She's wild. All right, so your emotional well-being is extremely important for your behavior. Because if you're emotionally unhappy, you'll sin. Now, you may not sin outwardly, you may sin inwardly. You'll eat ice cream, but you didn't commit adultery. You'll weigh 300 pounds, but at least you didn't commit adultery. As a matter of fact, a lot of women gain weight just so they don't commit adultery. I'm sorry. You know, don't want to expose everything, but that's the way it is. Especially if you've been raped or abused as a little girl, you might gain weight just to not be attractive anymore. That's the way it is. Now, emotions then are, it's impossible to worship God without emotions. Because he doesn't say, love me with all your heart and all your part of your soul and all your strength. You couldn't love him with all your strength unless you loved him with your all your soul. All your soul. So look, God wants love of all the heart, all the soul, all the strength, all your body. In other words, he wants everything. Even my obedience to Caesar, which is an outward behavior, is related to my soul. The rest of the world may obey Caesar out of fear. That's an emotion too. But we do it out of conscience. That's will. This plate down here is our will. Remember I told you the will is the governor of the soul. It isn't what I think that governs me. It isn't what I feel that governs me. Most people think that women are run by their emotions and men by their mind. Not so. Everybody's run by their will. A woman who goes with her emotions willed it, wanted to. So when you go with your emotions and skip your mind, you wanted to. And when you go with your mind and skip your emotions, you wanted to. So usually these are licentious people, but not always. And usually these are moral people, but not always. So, a person that wills, remember what Jesus said? Not my will, but thine be done. He didn't use his will himself. He gave his will over to his spirit, which obeyed the Lord. How do you get your will over? You don't make an act of will, because how could the will? Because the will could will to do physical bad things, or it could will to do the emotions, or it could will to do the mind. Okay? But the way that the will does it is if it believes, then the believing controls the will. You don't control it. So the will doesn't will to do the will of God by itself. It wills to do the will of God because it believes the will of God is best for it.
So believing controls the will.
Believing controls the will. So the dolphins control everything. The candle is controlled by the dolphins, but particularly the plate that holds the candle. So, this is my spirit, this is my soul, this is my body. Is everybody following so far? This is the Holy of Holies, where God dwelleth. This is the holy place where God could dwell, but you have to choose him every day by an act of will. So you have to renew your mind every day, the candle, in order to choose him every day, in order to submit to what you believe. But if you believe God is real, you will. You will. You'll want to do the will of God. When you don't do the will of God, that shows your faith, not your obedience. Your faith is wrong. Here's obedience, here's faith. Here's obedience, here's faith. But here is character. The character is in the soul. The obedience is in the body. The faith is in the heart. I'll do it again. The character is all here in the soul. Most people lack character, not a strong will. Most people lack character. They're not able to say, I'm going to get up tomorrow morning at 5, read my Bible for an hour. That would take character. How many of you know that you, at five minutes to 5, you feel like sleeping? So that's no character. You see? So most people have a weak will. That is, they're not able to do what they believe is right. What they believe, they don't do it. Oh, it was a good idea to pray, I just forgot. I just didn't do it. Well, that shows a weak will. So, weak-willed people are always confused people, are always emotionally upset people. All emotional trauma, all emotional stress, all emotional weakness is due to intellectual confusion. Show me an emotional person, I will show you a confused person. Show me a confused person, I will show you a weak-willed person. Show me a weak-willed person, I will show you a person without faith in God. So, bad behavior comes from a bad emotion, a bad soul, confused mind, weak will, comes from no faith. So, lack of faith produces disobedience. Eve ate the apple because she didn't have character, because she didn't believe. That's why the devil could trick her, not by telling her to eat the apple, that was disobedience, but by attacking God's word.
Amen.
Back into the spirit. He attacked her back here, not here or here. He got her to do this wrong thing because he broke her down here by attacking there. Yeah, well, you people on the tape, you'll have to get your own candle and your own ashtray. We don't smoke in here, Joe. Are you smoking when we're gone? And we have three different items on the fireplace. One is representing the spirit, which is a little dolphin statue here. And the other, which is representing the soul, which has three parts, the will, the mind, the emotions. But we have a plate, a candle, and a little candle inside the big candle. And then the other one is an ashtray that represents our behavior. Now, good behavior comes from a strong soul, right? Strong will, clear mind, happy emotions. Strong will, clear mind, happy emotions. Strong will, clear mind, happy emotions. When you have unhappy emotions, that's because your mind isn't clear. It's double-minded. It's unhappy, and so on. Your mind is confused. Then that's because your will is weak. Now, the will could be strong or weak. The mind could be clear or confused. The emotion could be happy or sad. That's it. That's it. Either has peaceful emotions, you know, and how do you get them? Strong mind. Strong mind. How do you get that? Strong will. Strong will makes a clear mind. That mind, what? You're going to think right today. I want to be double-minded. I want to have two thoughts. No, one thought only. So a strong will makes you have one mind. You will serve God. Today you're going to get up and read your Bible. Emotions. I want to read my Bible. The mind says to the emotions, quiet. Quiet in there. You kids get to bed. So the mind puts the emotions. See, a double-minded man is unstable. But a single-minded man says, no, we are not going to have that emotional stuff right there. You go to bed right now. Spank, spank, spank. Now the emotions have to then submit to the mind, which submits to the will, which submits to faith, which is faith in God's promises or God's word. So here's what to do. If you were mostly upset, you would say to your, just skip all these people, go straight to the Spirit and say, hope thou in God. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Let's say self-pity. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Well, everything always doesn't go my way. My sister always gets more than me. You know, just when I get to the winning spot, someone takes it away. Step in the pool and someone beat me to it. You know, how come I always win, but just when I win, I lose? You know, the game is over. I just came to bat. You know, so people are gripers and complainers, but the way to beat that is not to try to clear your mind or get your will strong. Go straight to the source. Skip over all those guys. Just go past to the owner of this company. God, what have you said? Jim, I will perfect you. Hallelujah. Now, that makes my emotions right away happy, but it strengthens my will and it clears my mind.
Amen.
Just cleared all the debris, because the owner of the company is greater than the president of the company. The president is the will. The owner, the stockholders, are over here in the spirit. They own this place. So you want to do the will of the stockholders. If you're the president, you shouldn't be lining your own pockets at the expense of the stockholder. The stockholder is the owner, the master. Did you see what I just did? So the owner of the company, the stockholders, control the will, the president of the company, okay, the board. Whatever, who then has vice presidents like the mind, vice president of finance, the vice president of, you know, operations, vice president of, you know, whatever. Now, the emotions then are the secretaries and all those kind of guys. who carry out, so that the workers out there are getting it all done. So now I have the secretary comes to the worker and says, you know, the boss says go to work, and here's what my vice president said, and that's what the president said, and that's what the owners want. So everything is smooth in that. You will have a good operating facility right there, see, if everything's in line. But normally in companies, you find that everything's all over the map. You have yes men in there who are vice presidents, yes, whatever the boss says, yes, sir. But he's not helping him because he's not giving a good report. Then you have negative people. Ah, I think it's a lousy idea. None of your ideas ever work. That guy's undermining the owner or the president. So what we have to do is have a strong president with very good, not yes men, and certainly not no men. It shouldn't be yes or no. They should just tell the truth. So you need a good president, which Enron didn't have. Enron was more interested in lining the pockets of the executives than they were in finding out what was really going on. You see what I'm saying? So the stockholders got cheated in the end. The owners got cheated. They happened to be the workers, happened to own the stock, but it didn't work because they had the wrong president, vice president, and secretaries. Only a few of the secretaries noticed what was going on. And they told some of the vice presidents. And the vice presidents couldn't get it up past Ken. They couldn't even get it to Ken. Does that make sense? So this is a perfect illustration of business, of church, of anything. But I'm only talking now about the soul. Why would business look like your soul? Because people run businesses. And God runs people. Now in the end, God, who is the owner, will get his will done. He'll have somebody, Jesus, who will to do God's will. He wants to do God's will. My meat is, you know, not to take care of myself. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. My will is to do the will of Him that sent me. So you got to find out that the guy who sent me loves me. The guy who sent me has power. The guy who sent me is my Father. Right? Does this make sense? So the reason why I'm a stable person in my actions is not because I'm wonderful. It's not because I'm emotionally, you know, happy all the time, though I am. It's not because I'm intelligent, though I am. It's not because I'm strong-willed, though I am. It's because I have faith in God that even if I would all fall apart, He would still be faithful. He would still keep His word.
Amen.
So I'm not the owner. As long as you know, these guys know, you're not the owner. But everything will be all right. So always go back to the owner. What has the owner said? What does he want? What does my mother want? What does my father want? What is Pastor Jim saying? You know, but these people are all here. It's only God. In the end, the only owner is God. Now, false religion would put another owner in that place, but they're not. They're just some of these people trying to be the owners. Sometimes the president of the company tries to take over from the owners. Many a sharp lawyer has taken away the widow's assets because he didn't want her to be the owner of that property. He wanted to be, and he was able to do it. You read the works of Dickens or whatever, beautiful stories of how, you know, a sharp, crafty lawyer or a good bank, they can take over your assets. And anybody can do it. It's not hard. You just have to be ruthless. But that is to make a mistake as though there's no God. That's why Dickens wrote his stories, to show that justice, not injustice. Injustice doesn't pay. And so he wrote those stories, but he didn't make them come out, you know, exactly right. Just enough to be real, because in real life, justice doesn't happen too often. Right? Now, if you could govern yourself, you could govern the world. If you could govern your tongue, I want to make this little thing here, Joe, where the where you usually put your cigarettes right here. I want to make this your tongue, because it's the first part, you see? This will be your behavior out here, but this will just be your mouth here. This is where either worship can come out or griping. You could have two different tongues. One would be griping and complaining. The other would be praising and blessing. Well, your tongue was made to worship God, praise His name forever, and love, compassion to your neighbor. Always speaking well. Amen? Now you get a choice. That's a choice you can make every day. President of the company can make that choice every day. So, this controls this, but that controls this, which controls this, which controls this, which controls this. So it's all a question. Every little kid has this question when he grows up in a family. Now, who's my boss? Now, I'm over the dog, right? This is my dog. This is my room. And little kids want to get that clear. Now, Mommy, are you the boss of me or Daddy? Is Daddy your boss? Yeah, they want to get it clear. Now, is Grandmother over you? You know, and they don't want to be confused about my brother running my life, or my sister running my life, or you. Or do I make my own decisions? You know, little kids always want to know that. They are so smart. Because they know, well, my brother's telling me that I can't do that. Well, he's not the boss. That helps that little kid, see? Because the three-year-old is being pushed around and manipulated by the seven-year-old. He hit me. Is he supposed to do that? No. You just tell me what he did. What he did. Did you spank him? So little kids want to know, now how does this all work? They are so good about finding it out. They right away get in and find it out. You go to jail, you'll find out who runs that jail. And it may not be the guy who's in charge. It may not even be Texas. They don't even know what's going on in those jails. The inmates themselves run themselves. They get cigarettes for one another, prostitutes for one another. They have a whole system inside there where they know how to punish and, you know, reward and everything. They got a whole system all set up, and the guards don't bother. They even pay the guards off. The guards are often in with them in the same deal. I'm telling you, it's something else. You go in there, you find out that, now who's my boss? Now who's Tiny's boss? The 300-pound guy. You know, who's his boss, you know? And you find out who runs that jail. Any system you get into, you have to find out who's the pecking order. You know, who runs the show. For example, in a church, it could be the Ladies' Aid Society. It could be the wealthy. It could be, you know, the pastor's wife. It could be the pastor playing God. It could be the denomination. It could be the Pope. You have to find out, now who runs this outfit? Who's in charge around here? You know, who's under whom? It's so important to figure out the line of command. For example, am I the pastor of the church? Yes, I am. But am I the only pastor? No, I'm not. Is David Halverson a pastor? Yes, he is. What about others? Yes, there are others, several others, but we haven't laid hands on them yet and called them pastors, but they're already functioning as pastors. I'm not going to explain why we haven't done it, but we haven't done that yet. But there will come a day and a time when we will set in place who are the elders, who are the deacons, who are the deaconesses, who are the heads of this and the heads of that, and so on. This is not the time to do it because there's no leadership in place. Why? Because we don't even know how spirit, soul, and body works. You can't put flesh people in a spiritual post. This is because, well, but he's good in business. Wouldn't he be good in the church? Shouldn't he do the church finance if he's good in business? No. They're not similar at all. It's totally a different system. Well, she's a teacher at school, so she could talk. That's nothing to do with it. You know? Religious teaching is totally different than secular teaching. So there are no, it has nothing to do with where you came from. I remember who's the guy that got the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Cullen Davis. When Cullen Davis got into the church right away because he was a business leader, people thought, well, he's smart, and he's smart as a whip. He's just a smart guy. They right away had him teaching on secular humanism. I remember he and his wife were teaching on secular humanism. That was a joke to me. It's like, I don't care how much you know about secular humanism. You know nothing about Jesus yet. Did they forget secular humanism and how we Christians, you know, now that you're a Christian, fine. I don't know anything about your past, but now that you're a Christian, grow up and stop taking responsibilities. You need to learn. And I told him that. And we're still friends to this day. Good friends, too. Why? Because he's wrong. And I rebuked the pastor. I can tell you all the churches he went to. I rebuked him for using the guy because he was a famous world person, so they figured he'd be famous in the church. Church has nothing to do with world. When you come in the church, I don't care how old you are, sit down and be quiet. You got to be a little kid for a while. When you're a leader out in the world, you're not a leader in the church. How many know that many a man is a good leader in business, but he's a horrible leader at home? You know nothing about home. As a matter of fact, I could almost say that the better business leader you are, the rottener you are at home. Usually a man who's good at business neglects his family. It's the reason he's good at business, because he puts all his focus on his money making and, you know, pleasing everybody down there. And then he has a mistress on the side because he can't get along with his wife. I'm serious. It's not a joke. It's a horrible truth, is that he's not good at intimacy. He's good at selling. You say he's good at salesmanship. He's good at organization, but he can't organize his family. And he can't do anything at home. He may want to, but he isn't trained. So I train business leaders all the time. And first thing I train them is know God, then take care of your family, then the church, then business. You got three ahead. See? Learn how to control yourself first, so that you're under God, you're submitted to your own family. That's your real ministry. Then submitted to the church. Then submitted to business. You understand? Well, that's hard for a businessman, because he wants to skip those first three. And, yeah, I'll give a nickel to God and support my family and, you know, come to church and so on. What more do you want? Well, you know, what I want is total brokenness. I want you to be broken 100%. Well, we have that now. There are many businessmen who are submitted. They're submitted to the church. They take care of their families. No more prostitutes. No more things. I stop all of that. You get rid of all those girlfriends you have. All the secretaries at work. And fire that pretty one. Get this dumpy, ugly one right here. I do. I literally go through and tell them, you know, you're not going to have that one. Why? Because that's a threat to their family. It isn't that the pretty one might not be a good secretary or something. She's just going to be a distraction to that guy. Because he's either good looking or he has a lot of money or whatever. She might want to advance herself through that, and he may want her to. You understand? So I stop all of that. You will not do business the way it's done in China or in Japan or in Europe or in America. You're going to do business the way the king. Well, they appreciate that. They actually don't disagree. They just never were taught. No one ever taught them what business is for. You have to know, why do you make money? You're not making it so you can buy more houses and boats and girlfriends. You are doing business so that you can be a better steward for the kingdom of God. And you know what? Businessmen love it. Businessmen love that. They say, look, I'll make an extra $2 million this year just for the kingdom. Look at people that are doing that. It's powerful. So if I need to fly somewhere or go somewhere, they might just fund the whole thing because they have the wherewithal to do it, because I told them, make an extra $2 million this year. We need it in the kingdom. And they'll do it. Why? Because some businessmen have the gift of making money. But they also are often debauched. They're ruined morally. Because that's one of the ways you make money, is to do things under the table. Do things that are naughty. Do you understand what I'm saying? Most of the Masonic orders and the jesters and the, you know, all these groups they belong to are just nothing but perverted whorehouses and other kind of games that they all play. And that's how they get business done. They don't do business over the business table. So I teach the men, no, you're not going to do business that way. You're going to do it Jesus' way. So get under God, then get your family in order. Make sure you're home plenty of time. And then get yourself under the church. And then you go out and make your money. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you got to get everything in order. That's why God set up this order. It's perfect. It never varies. You can give me any system in the world, I can show you how it's all totally related to this natural order of God. That spirit is first. Everything that's wrong today in our government is that it's not under God. Everything that's wrong in our government today. I can turn the government upside down today easily because I know exactly what's wrong with it. But you have to follow the little pattern that God has set up. You have to know that spirit first, then will, then mind, then emotions, then behavior. And once you get that all straight, for example, is economics above politics? Is religion above politics? Is society above economics? There's only four factors. The psychological is part of those four factors. There's only four factors. There's the social, political, and economic, and then there's the spiritual. Which one is first? Which one is second? Which one is third? Which one is fourth? Who runs what? You have to know. And if you don't know, for example, the founding fathers set it up so that spiritual vision was first. Jefferson wrote that down in the Declaration. God and nature's God has endowed every man with certain inalienable rights, blah, 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 freedom, liberties, and all these things. Okay? That shows that the spiritual is over the secular, political, civil government. Today, we don't have that government. That government does not exist. That government was turned upside down completely on its head, and now it is run by mammon. Businessmen run our government. Not the church, not society, not the people. It was set up so that the people would run it, but they are easily bribed and deceived and lazy and whatever else. And so a handful of businessmen now, a plutocracy. That's how our country is run. That's how the whole world is run. The whole world is run that way. How did they get in? Well, it took them 100 years to get in. It took them over 100 years to break down the republic that we had. We were a great nation until the 20th century. World War I, that was due to the plutocracy. The plutocracy made World War I. The Depression, made by the plutocracy. World War II, made by the plutocracy. Every war we've had, made by the plutocracy. Not by the Republic. Not by the people of America, or the people of Europe, or the people of anywhere. You see? So our government once was free, now it's slave. You're no longer free in this land. You have no freedom at all. I don't care what you think, you are completely illusory. You have lost all your freedom, because you are now controlled. The government itself is controlled. The government is not controlling you. That's part of the ruse. That's part of the mistake. The government is an image of the plutocrat. And you are worshiping the plutocrat through the image. You have to give your money, you make your donations, make your offerings, make your sacrifices to a government that isn't even a real government. Now, I'm not indicting it, because there's nice people inside the government today. There are many nice people inside the FBI, the CIA, the executive, legislative, and judicial branches. Many. But they're not in charge. And they're ignorant. They're either inept or ignorant, or both. So they're controlled. But what's happened is, now you can't get back if you don't know how you got there. If you don't know who's in charge, you have to ask the question, who's in charge here? I thought the people were the masters. I thought the sovereign people created the government as their slave. I didn't think the government was the master and the people were their slave. Which is it? Huh. Kind of an important question. Am I, as the little kid, in charge of the family, or is it the mother? It's an important question. I thought the people created the government for their own benefit. For their safety and happiness, they created the government. Well, that's right. That's the way it was created. So in that case, the businessman was not in charge. The businessman was not in charge. In fact, it's an indictment in the 20th century made by Baird, Charles Baird and his wife. It was an indictment that said, the founding fathers set up the government only to get rich. And that was the economic interpretation of American history. And it prevailed until now. Ronald Reagan changed it. But up until Ronald Reagan, everybody believed just what Baird said. Now, Baird's just a tool, a sycophant of the plutocrats. He himself was a plutocrat, but he was just a tool of the plutocrats. Plutocrat means rich. The rich. A handful. They called, you know, at the turn of the century, they called them the money power. They were the ones that were monopolizing everything. Yeah, everybody knows their names, their household names. Well, all the people that were the big industrialists and the big bankers and the big, you know, they were working behind the scenes manipulating everything. Well, government used to stop them. So all during the 19th century, they were stopped up until the early 1900s. Then all of a sudden they took over. The IRS is their gift to you. You might think it was against them. No, they made it. The Federal Reserve is their gift to you. And they then were able to do World War I, Depression, and World War II until you were broke. Now you are slaves, and the whole system works. Anyway, you don't need to know all this. All I'm trying to point out is, you better find out which is first, the chicken or the egg. You got to find out who runs what. America today has no spiritual vision. Even our spiritual leaders are way off the mark. Though they sound like they're saying right words, they're not. They're just changing your slave conditions from green handcuffs to yellow handcuffs. Do you like green or yellow? So you still have some liberty. Well, let's see, I'll take yellow. Very good. Well, thank you. Do you want black TV or color TV? Color. Okay, color for these inmates. Yeah, but you're still an inmate. You may have color TV and, you know, better food or something or other. But that's all you're worried about, is what kind of slave conditions you have? You have missed the whole point of why you were a nation. You used to be in charge. The people used to be the creators of this government. And that can never be changed, by the way. With inalienable, unalienable, you can't take them away, rights and liberties. Now you have no rights or liberties. They're still there, but they're buried so deep that you don't even know where to get them. If you went into any court in the land, you could not get your natural rights and liberties. You would get privileges granted by the Senate, by the House of Representatives, by some judicial judge making a favorable thing. You can bribe those people to get those privileges, but you have no rights. God has given you no rights because people don't even know they have rights. They have the rhetoric, the talk of rights, but they actually just have privileges. And the government knows it. The Texas House is no different. They know that whatever they say is God. They know that. You are totally dependent upon them. They're your master. They're your God. They're the ones you look to for all your needs being met. And now Louisiana has come over to Texas to get all of its needs met. That means Texas is God to those Louisiana people. You understand? When you look to government as your benefactor, then the benefactor is your God. Whoever gives you the benefits, like a mother, that's your God. That's your boss. That's the one you look to. Government was never created and can never do it to be a benefactor. Jesus said the rulers of this world call themselves benefactors. Call themselves benefactors. How can they be a benefactor? They're just a tool, an agent of the people's sovereign will. In other words, they rule in the name of the people. But actually, there is no such thing as the people. They say the words, we rule in the name of the people. Then they just do what they want to do. We're doing this in the name of the people. Then they just mow you down. I thought I was the people. And then you're just, I call you free, but you're actually a slave, a ward. Everybody here in this room is a ward because you're taking benefits from the state. The whole system is set up now. You can't even escape, even if you wanted to be free. Now, the plutocrats all know the game. Bill Clinton, for example, is a plutocrat. Bill doesn't have any money. Why? It's all tied up in trust. Why? Because he doesn't want to be part of the taxing system. So he's not a slave. He's a free man. You're the slave. Because, you know, LBJ had 22 trusts. All the Supreme Court justices, everybody that's anybody with any brains at all, knows how to get out of the system. Because they know this is a slave system. Better to be a plutocrat than a slave. But originally, it was set up so there could be no plutocrats. We by definition, defined out plutocracy and all kinds of rewards and benefits to people. We just said government doesn't give out benefits. Never did the American government give out a benefit. It only defended you from foreign armies, from local criminals, and from itself. That's all that the government did. Those three actions. Three actions and three actions only. Period over out. Nothing else. The taxes that it raised were only for those three items. Foreign armies, and we didn't even have a standing army. We didn't have a standing army. So that was a low cost. They had militias. And then local criminals, so we had a sheriff. A couple of deputies at times. But basically, you just paid for a sheriff out in the West, right? Just hire Bob, Wyatt Earp, you know, somebody, and you just got a sheriff. That was it. There's your law. You didn't have big police forces with all kinds of, you know, cars and helicopters and all the stuff they do these days, with shooters and so on. Nonsense. The more cops you have, the more crime you have. It isn't, let's get a lot of cops so we can stop crime. It's the more cops you have, the more crime you'll have. This is a direct correlation. It's the opposite of what you think. If you're not self-governing, if they took away your gun, then of course there's going to be more criminals because you don't have any guns. Only the police have guns. And the police are criminal too. So now you have criminals inside the police department. And if they weren't criminal when they got in, they might be criminal when they get out because they bribe one another. They sleep with one another. They do all kinds of crooked and crummy things. Because they're dealing with low life all the time, so they become like unto them. Are you hearing me? So the whole system is messed up, and you don't know how to get back because you don't know how you got to where you are because you don't even know where you were in order to find out where you are now. So how can you get back if you don't even know you're not there? Where am I? Where are you, Adam? Where are you? Who's your boss? You all understand? Now, highly complicated, not to me, highly simple. Very simple. Either the government is a benefactor or it's a slave. The founding fathers set up the government to be a slave. Now it's become a benefactor. That means it's the master and you're the slave. I'm the beneficiary. Of what? Slave conditions? Then how am I the beneficiary? If I'm a slave, I'm not a beneficiary. Slaves aren't beneficiaries of masters. Benefactors, the only benefactor I know is God. He supplies all my need according to his riches and glory. He does all my defending. I don't need the government to do that unless God has assigned the government to do it. And God did assign the government to do it. He didn't assign them ever to give out one benefit. I don't want them fixing my roads. I don't want them doing anything because the government can't do one thing without being corrupted. Everything it does is inept. Everything it does is corrupt. Everything. So the only thing the government can do is what God told the government to do. Defend from foreign armies, because we can't all defend ourselves at all times, so that's what the government set up for. And take care of the criminals so the criminals don't win. Punish them. Threaten them and punish them. That's it. The rest is, don't ever let the government get out of order. And that's our biggest problem, is the government's got out of order because the plutocrats figured out how to deceive us. Because they wanted money. They're greedy. All they want is money and power. Money and control. That's what it's all about. That's what business is all about. They learned that in business. So they finally took over the government and now work behind the scenes. They're not in office. They just put their people in office. For example, if I was a drug company, I would then work for the government. I'd put one of my employees inside the regulatory agency of the government so that I would have my own employee regulating me. Happens all the time. Happens exactly in the pharmaceutical industry. The very people that are on the drug administration are the very people that work for the industry because they know everything about the industry. Well, those people have vested interests. They have a conflict of interest. But the government isn't controlled by you, the people. You, the people, control nothing. You don't understand. You're not in control anymore. You are now a taker of privilege. Could I have two cookies today? No, only one cookie. Oh, King Rex, only have one cookie. You know the story of Oliver. You have to beg now, Mother, may I? May I take it? We used to be the boss. Now we're the slave. I don't know. There's a difference for me. There's a big difference. I don't think slave. I always think boss. Because I think God. And by the way, I'll win. They'll lose. Why? Why will one person win against the whole? You can't even beat City Hall, but I will. You can't beat state government, but I will. You can't beat anyone. Well, no, but I will. Why? Why? Well, because God has that agenda and doesn't want to change his mind. I ask God, God, would you like to change your mind? We're slave people now. What do you think of that? Would you like to work with a slave thing? Well, not really. Really? Well, I don't think you've noticed we've all voted. We've all voted, and you're out. I just thought I'd tell you that. And he goes, no, I think I'd like to have a free church. Well, that'll mess things up. Sorry. We don't have room for freedom in the slave quarters. We just don't have room. Well, I know, but I still have that idea. Your little idea there, God, of having a free church is going to ruin the whole thing, because if there's a free church, then there'll be a free state. You can't have a free church and a binding state. Did you hear what I just said? So the freedom of the church always caused every civil right and liberty. There are no civil rights unless there's freedom in the church. So the secret to our government was a free church would make a free state. That's how you got a free state. You have a slave church, you have a slave state. Well, we're back to a slave state again, because we've got a slave church. The church is whorish rather than bridal. Now, all of it starts back with you. Get your own life right. Control your own tongue. How do you do that? Be happy emotionally. Remember God says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Woo-hoo. That means happy, 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 happy in the midst of all your horrible situations. Worship God. Don't be affected by bad people. Doesn't bother me that we're a slave nation. Doesn't bother me at all. I don't care. I don't care if we're free or slave. I'm going to do what God told me to do, because I'm emotionally happy. You can put me in the worst condition, I'll still laugh. Why? Because I'm still going to obey God, and I'm going to do His will. And if God doesn't want to back me up, that isn't business. But I suspect He will. I suspect if I tell Him, now God, here's the deal. You and I entered into a covenant. You said you'd keep your side. I'll keep my side. So I'm going to keep my side by your power, because you promised to keep my side too, didn't you? Yeah, I thought so. Okay, since you're going to keep my side and your side, I'm holding you to it. And when God sees that, He says, oh, Jim, are you going to obey me then today? Yep, I am. Well, how are you going to do that? Because I'm happy. How are you going to do that? Because my mind is clear. How are you going to do that? Because my will is strong. How are you going to do that? Because my faith is strong in your promise. Did you see how I went back to the promise of God?
Yeah.
Now, I'll do it again because I want you to get this. Every time I obey the Lord, here's obedience, here's behavior, here's body. Behavioral modification. No, I don't believe in that. This is behavior. This is how behaviors change. By emotional happiness. Without emotional happiness, you can't obey. You can be legalistic, but you wouldn't obey. Real obedience comes from emotional happiness. That can only happen if your mind is clear. If you were double-minded, you couldn't do that. A double-minded person isn't emotionally happy. A double-minded person can be upset, unhappy, not peaceful, back and forth. But I'm not double-minded. I'm single-minded in what I do. I'm always emotionally peaceful, happy, not stressed. Make it to age 65 or whatever. It's easy. I don't know. I don't even think about it. I've never gone to a hospital. I've never gone to a doctor. I don't even know what they are. So I don't need the Medicare kind of stuff. I'd die before I'd ever go. Because I would die if I did go. So I'm not going. Now, I'm not putting anyone down who does go. I'm just simply telling you it is not necessary. Everybody doesn't have to do it. Well, your genes are better.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think so. I don't look the picture of anything. But anyway, you do as you wish. But my emotions are happy, and I'll tell you what, that's a good medicine.
Yeah.
That's a good medicine. Stress-free living is a very good medicine. I'll say that 99% of all health-related problems are due to stress. I'd say 100, but I don't want to say it. It would make me stressful if I said it. So I'll say 99. And anyway, I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm just trying to point out, you don't need all that stuff. I never spent a penny for that. We have never had that in our budget. We don't have anything. And Peggy does take whatever she takes, what's it called? Excedrin. Peggy takes Excedrin every once in a while so that she likes me. But that's all. That's all. I can always tell when she's had an Excedrin. Peg, you're being awfully friendly today. Have you had an Excedrin? She usually comes and tells me, Jim, I'm being friendly just because I've had an Excedrin. I don't really like you. Don't get mixed up. But I've just had an Excedrin. So, but it's okay. But other than that, we don't take anything or do anything or take any pills. By the way, after 60 years old, pills just go through your system anyway. They're worthless. You know that. I mean, I'm telling you things you ought to know. But pills are useless. They don't do anything. It's just a placebo. It's just a money thing. You're just buying nothing. You all know that? Besides, if you just ate right, you wouldn't even need all that stuff. Anything that's valuable is out in nature. You just go and get it. Eat the orange. You know, you don't need to juice your orange or whatever people do, all this stuff. You eat grass. It's kind of funny. Now, I'm not against all that. All I'm trying to say is just natural herbs are just out there. Just eat food. Try to get organic food that isn't all, you know, man-manipulated. You'll be fine. Now, I don't eat processed foods. I don't buy canned anything. I don't go to the restaurant and eat their food. I'll get a salad because it's not done. They don't do anything to the salad. See? Or I might eat fish. But I want it cooked in the way that keeps as much natural. And so, you know, I'm just really cautious about eating all the trash that people will feed you. So I eat a lot of grains every day and a lot of, you know, roughage and a lot of seeds and nuts and all kinds of things. I just throw it all in my cereal bowl and eat it and mix it up and eat it. Natural honey. Got tons of honey. I got 25 gallons, I'm sure, of honey. It's all over the place. It's good. It's good honey. And it's got all the local immunities because it's naturally made. I didn't buy it from the store. I don't buy my food from the store. I don't trust the store.
Amen.
So, anyway, most of you have shortened your lives by eating a lot of garbage and trash. But my mother amazes me because she eats only trash. And she eats ice cream cookies and waffles, whatever those things are. Legos, or whatever they're called. Eggles. Yeah, that's it. That's all my mom will eat. And she's doing fine. She's actually not. She's actually in great trouble. But she likes her ice cream and cookies and Eggles, whatever that. And so let her do it. I mean, I've tried to talk to her, and she doesn't disagree, but she won't do it. You know, just sit there and munch on them. And so, okay, break up. But here's my mother still existing, and here's other people eating healthy, and they're dying off like flies. My mother's still going on. You know, she's crippled over. She's, you know, everything's wrong. But, you know, she's happy as can be. She loves Jesus. Well, praise God. She's got that part right. Amen? I think it's great. I'm sorry that her body thing, but doesn't seem to have any impact on her. My theology doesn't work with my mom. You know? But I know she's personally sick a lot. A lot. She doesn't come to church. Why? Because she's sick. She's not sleeping at night and so on. Because of the way she eats. Nothing wrong with her lifestyle. She doesn't have a lifestyle. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But she's not eating right. That is wrong. To me, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Do you understand? I'm not criticizing. I'm just simply pointing out a fact. Because you can't neglect your body and have a wholesome life. You know, she can still pray and she can still worship God and she can still, you know, write checks to people and say, that's great. My mom has a wonderful time serving God and so on and so forth. But you know what? That to me isn't an abundant life. I don't agree with that kind of life. So I'm not going to do that. But anyway, your spirit, you have nothing to do with. You can't make your spirit change. Your spirit is totally dependent upon what you hear. That's why I talk. I talk because the Lord told me through the Spirit. I talk so that I reach your spirit, not your mind, not your emotions, not your will, and not your behavior. I will say things about behavior, I will say things about soul, but I never really teach or preach to souls. I'm really speaking only here to tell you what Jesus has done for you. How great he is.
Yeah.
So when I exhort you, what I'm doing is not really making anybody obey. I'm just finding out who's mature or not. That's all. So if I exhort and say, everybody go home and read your Bible, read Isaiah, the 31st chapter or something, two people will do it. Well, I found out who the two people are, you know, because they'll come and say, that was a real blessing. Really? You listened? Unbelievable. I mean, I didn't know there was anybody. You're crazy. But that's wonderful. I thank God for you. Well, I've noticed over the years that more and more people are getting into this third camp. I've noticed that people are actually listening. It's like, wow, this is a mystery to me. I can't imagine why anyone would do it. It must be a God. See? Because only God can convict a person. I don't do any conviction. Now, Peggy's different, and I say this as a joke, but it's funny because she does operate differently. Peggy will try to convict you. I mean, she is not waiting for the Holy Spirit to convict. When she has a thought or an idea, she will repeat it 50 times until you get it. Did you hear me? Yeah, I heard you the first time. You didn't hear me? You know, you just keep at it. Peg, I've heard you. I even wrote it down on the start. See, got it. You know, but she doesn't want you just to hear it. She wants you to do it so that she can examine it and, you know, look it over and say, hey, Jesus, I'm giving you that job. You're never going to instruct me. You can tell me and, you know, say what you want to say twice, and after that, I'm not listening. You're not going to control me. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Because I am not unusual. I am a normal male. And all normal males are built exactly as I am. They will never listen. Now, they heard you the first time, or at least by the second or third time, but by the fourth time, they shut you out because you're nagging now, and you are playing God now. You planted the seed, drop it. Let it go. Don't go back and dig it up each day to see if the plant's got roots on it. And so that's bad farming on your part. And besides, it'll cause stress on your part. You will not be emotionally happy. If you play God, you lose all your happiness. You know why I'm happy all the time? I got a God. A God just gives you total happiness. I'm happy all the time. Why? Because even if I mess up, even if I didn't do anything right, I still got, I know God loves me. God loves me without condition. You see how powerful that is? Well, once this nation was built of many people like unto me, or I'm like unto them. And so I think like they thought. Now, this nation has now been redefined and changed almost exclusively in the 20th century. So the 21st century, of which we're now a part, we now get to decide again whether we want to live according to the 18th century or the 19th century or the 20th century. For me, first century. I'm going all the way back to the first century. Why? Because that's how the 18th century thought about it. Because they borrowed all their ideas from the 17th century and the 16th century. Went back to the first century. Prior to Constantine. But I could name all the bad guys throughout history who have ruined your liberty. But I can name all the good guys that God used to get it back. The Magna Carta was done by Stephen Langton, an Episcopalian, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury in England. It wasn't the king that wrote the Magna Carta. It wasn't the nobles that wrote the Magna Carta. It was an agent of the church. A pastor. And he became the Archbishop of Canterbury. And so he wrote the Magna Carta based on a revelation that God gave him the night before as he was sleeping and dreaming about what to do with Prince John, Robin Hood's brother-in-law, or brother. Remember Robin Hood's brother? King John, the bad guy, Sheriff of Nottingham, all that stuff. Well, that guy was a bad guy, and he was king because Richard, the Lionhearted, was dead. And so England now had John as their king, who was a tyrant. And this is how kings in England got clipped through a man that went to sleep at night and thought about how to stay free from this king. How can the church be free from the state? Because the state wanted to control everything. And the king wanted all the money and all the power and all the influence and everything. In 1215, all of a sudden, all the nobles got together, punched the king down, put a sword to his head and said, you know, you want to sign this paper? Thinking of it, yeah, I think I will. But if you don't sign it, you're dead. I think I'll sign. So he signed that Magna Carta. As soon as he signed it, he took it, threw it in the trash can. But fortunately, Stephen Langton saved it. Saved it. And so the Magna Carta kept coming up over and over again to hold kings back from bad government. I believe in good government. I don't believe God gives us good government. I believe you and I choose it. You have to choose it. It isn't just given to you. God doesn't give it to you, and certainly the legislature is not going to give it to you. There's no judicial branch that will give it to you. There's no executive branch that will give it to you. There's nobody out there that's going to give it to you. Even God. You've got to take it. You want to be free? I do. I have to be free because I'm a Christian. So I have to be free.
Okay.
Yeah.
Government has forsaken allegiance to God and morality and religion.
Yes.
And economics has controlled politics.
Yes.
Politics has controlled the social
right.
life.
Correct. Culture.
In New Orleans, right. you can see the total breakdown of that.
Total.
And the sociology demands is
right. Perfect. Yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect. And we could go on and on and on because you can go anywhere in the world and find the same story. It's easy for me to tell it. But going back to you, if you could control you, control the world. The problem is you. You are the problem. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, that means come under the higher law of God. Our founding fathers put us under the higher law. Every church is under the higher law. Every individual is under the higher law. But many individuals don't choose it. Many churches don't choose it. Many churches would rather be under a human law, an arbitrary law, something other than God's law. Only God's law doesn't change. Everything else in the world is alienable. It changes. Only God's law is inalienable, unalienable. Can't be aliened, can't be sold, can't be given away, can't be lost. Even if they take away your rights, you still have it. Why? God gave it. You don't have a right. You don't have a right. Nobody has a right to take away your happiness, your life, your liberty, your pursuit of happiness. You don't have. They don't have a right. But they can do it. But you'd have to let them. And the day you decide, I'm not going to let them do that to me anymore, that's the day you not only love yourself, but you love them too. Because it isn't good for the homosexuals to rule. It isn't good for the plutocrats to rule. It isn't good because they can't even rule themselves. They couldn't even keep the thing going without us. How can Egypt be run by the Pharaoh alone? He has to have slaves. But what if we decide we're not going to make bricks anymore? We decide we're going to go out in the wilderness and worship God. That's the Exodus. It's exactly what Israel gave to us. Israel gave to us the first political liberty in the world. Right there. That was it. They were slave people making bricks in somebody else's land. They weren't even in their own house. They were in the house of bondage. And God said, nah, I don't like that idea. I don't like economics running politics. Ruining my people. I'd like to change that. I think I'll change that. I want to call. Let me see here. I want to call my Jewish people out. I want to get them out. So he called them out. Come out, come out. And they left. And they went and told Pharaoh, go tell Pharaoh that I want my people out. Now God knew that Pharaoh wasn't going to agree. I mean, it wasn't like, go ask his permission. It didn't say, go ask his permission. We don't ask the government's permission. I don't ever ask the government's permission. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Kill me, but I'm not asking any permission. Well, can I preach this? Can I say this? Can I do this? I don't ask an underling when the boss told me to go and do it. So God says, I want my people out, and I want them to spend 3 days in the wilderness to worship me. It's just a three-day trip. So he went and he told Pharaoh, we're going to take 3 days off. You are telling me what you're going to do? You are slaves. I know, we're going to take 3 days off and worship our God because he demands it. He's bigger than you. Who is this God? Nobody bigger than me. I am the Son of God. Who would God be? But, you know, the Son. The Son, they worship the Son. I'm the Son of the Son. Ed said, well, I know, our God made the Son. I don't know this God. This God I do not know. The God that made the Son, I don't know. I only know the Son. The Son is God. As high as we go. Well, I know that we have a higher God than that. This is the true God. Yours is a false God. Well, Pharaoh didn't like that. So he said, no, I'm not going to do it. As a matter of fact, because you have so much time to think of these new ideas, I'm not even going to give you strong anymore. And not only that, you're gonna make all the bricks and no straw gather for yourself. You smart Alex. You think you can get this religion going on me? No way. So, well, religion's higher than politics. It's higher than pharaohs. It's the highest. It's God. That was kind of a challenge to the pharaoh. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how can he do it? You Jewish, stubborn, stiff-necked people. Yeah, the pharaoh was ticked off him. Moses, just because you grew up in Egypt, gives you no right to do this. Because remember, Moses was actually related to the pharaoh. Did you know they were related? Same family. Did you know that? He was related. Remember, the daughter of Pharaoh was his mom. She raised him. She adopted him in. And so he was going to be the pharaoh. Moses would have been the pharaoh of Egypt, not the guy that was there. So he's speaking to a guy that he actually could have been over. You see what I'm saying? But the Bible says Moses chose to give up that high office for a higher one, being a pastor of his people. I tell you, I take the highest office of all. Somebody says, you want to be president of the United States? Nah. What? You don't want to be president of the United States? How about president of the world? Emperor? Nah. I think I'll be a pastor of Fort Worth. You're kidding. I mean, they don't even like you there. You know, they put up with you, but they don't even like you. Yeah, that's where I'd like to be. That's where Jesus has me. I love it there. I like it where people don't like me. I like that job. Because that's where Jesus told me to go. I trust Jesus. You see what I'm saying? So he says, pull your people out, and if they don't want you to come back, look, you don't have to go back at all. In fact, we could just make an exodus out of this. Change world history. Moses led the people out, and they never went back. You know why? They all got drowned. Egypt went down the hill after that. Did you know that? Egypt was never great again. It never had glory again. I don't care what you thought, it didn't have any glory. Because Moses ruined that thing forever. He said economics is not the top. Politics is not the top. The top is God. So when our founding fathers built this kingdom that we have, this nation, this people, you know what they did? They did it the Bible way. They didn't follow Aristotle. They didn't follow Nimrod. They didn't follow Cicero in Rome. They didn't follow Machiavelli. They didn't follow Hobbes's Leviathan. They didn't follow anybody out there. You know who they followed? The Old Testament with Abraham's call. Leave order. Get out of order. Get out of town. Leave this world. It's common. It's secular. It's temporal. Let's go into something eternal. Big. Come on. Let's set people free. Let's have another idea in the world. That came from Abraham. The Ishmaelites today, the Arab peoples today, are still suffering under rejection of their father, Abraham. They claim because of blood they're related to Abraham. But Abraham isn't a blood person. He's a faith person. It isn't blood that makes things go. It's faith. I tell you, the secret to my life is not my blood that circulates in my body. It's not even my soul that's constantly my personality that I'm shaping. It's this right here, that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
There it is.
That's it. Isn't that the key to our whole life? Jesus loves me so. Me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's it. It's as high as it goes. It's as deep as it goes. You can't get any greater theology than that. It's impossible to go beyond that little song. That's it. All the songs in the world don't go beyond that song. All the theology in the world can't get beyond that theology. So the fact that Jesus loves me, my spirit man knowing that, I am free. Then I get my emotions free, my mind free, my will free, my body free. I get everything. After that, I get everything. Do you know, God said, if you'll submit to me, none of the diseases of Egypt will be upon you. You won't even get sick. Imagine that. There's people living out in the desert, and they aren't going to get sick. And where's the food? Where are the gardens? Where's the Piggly Wigglies? You know, where do they eat? Where are they going to get their clothing? God said, don't worry about that. Let's just take care of spiritual things first. You take care of the seek first the kingdom. I'll give you everything else. Really, out in the desert? Can God spread a table in the wilderness? Can he feed us in the wilderness, 3 million people? Could he take care of, you know, a million or two people in New Orleans? Is it possible for God to take care of that many people? Don't we need the government to do that for us? Okay. Economics won't help. You know, there's not enough money in America to just take care of all this, that disaster right there. Just one city fall down, and the whole of America can't even take care of it. We're trying to help the whole world. We can't even help one city. Why don't we have enough money? Why don't we have enough, you know, well, they can't do it. They don't know how to do it, they can't do it, and they never will do it. It would break America. We're already busted anyway. But they just print it up on a printing machine. But they don't have enough printing machine dollars that'd be worth anything to correct that problem. Isn't that amazing? What good is this nation? It can't defend us from anything. You know what? I think we've lost our way. They can't even do the job they claim they're going to do. FEMA, sure, they'll fire Brown or somebody just to give, you know, like, oh, okay, we'll fire the guy. As though that's going to keep FEMA going. We'll fire the head guy and that'll keep FEMA going. FEMA is nothing. You don't need security. You want liberty, not security. You don't want liberty. I mean, you don't want security. You want liberty. I don't want security. Don't secure me. Don't help me. God helps me. God secures me. I don't want any help. I'm sorry. Don't secure me. America can't secure me. It's God that secures me. And God told the government to secure my rights, not to give me food. Never told them to give me happiness. They told me to give the pursuit of happiness, not the happiness. The government can't give me happiness. Jim, do you have a house? No, I'm poor on the street. My house bought it out. Well, we'll give you a house. We'll give you some housing. You need housing? We'll take care of you. Oh, that's not a government's job. Are they going to give me food, clothing? Are they going to take care of all my needs? Well, then they'd be my God. No, I don't want them to do that. Are you hearing me? We used to be a nation of self-governing people. Now we are a nation of sheep, slaves, lords, beggars. Could I get, can we get two ice cubes, please? Two ice cubes. I need one for my mother. And people are grabbing bottles of water. Could I have two? You know, and people are trying to get all this stuff. You know, fortunately down there, somebody will just grab it. Yeah, give me all that. You know, and they'll even shoot the helicopters and stuff. And that's people. People are fierce. The homosexuals, they're supposed to have 100,000 homosexuals in New Orleans. Did you know that? Last week. 100,000. They had a big convention there. It's a big convention time. 100,000 came there to be happy. They didn't come. When they saw that storm, they changed their mind. But 24 of them stayed. And they stayed in the French Quarter and lived it up. You saw them on television, right? Or throughout the papers or whatever. Didn't you? Don't you? You know what the news is saying. So they're there. Come hell or high water, we're going to have a good time. And they did. They had a good time. It's a homosexual city. It's one of their places. It's one of their high witchcraft places. You understand? This is not just lifestyle. This is rebellion against God. This is another religion. Hello? So, government doesn't give you happiness. It just gives you the right to pursue happiness on your own, under God, self-governing. I govern myself. This is how you govern yourself. First, second, third. First, second, third. First, second, third. First, second, A, B, C, third. That one's tricky, and I don't want to go into it because it's complex. But it's between the two, but I don't want to go into it. You know, it's not there and it's not here, but it's both. Your moral conscience is here in the will. It actually moves the will, but it's just the interface between these two. You see, this is your natural reason, and reason and moral conscience always go together. Emotional, then, is just the result of that. If you are a reasonable person, you should be an emotional free. In other words, you have emotions, but you keep them in control. Right? That's why women marry. They should marry, because marriage kind of holds this from running wild. You ever been with a woman who just emotionally runs wild? And she feels great that she's saying all this stuff, see? But a man would just shut that out. See, a man just shut that out at home. Then he sees her talking in public and just, honey, quiet, knock it off. No one wants to hear your stories. You see, a good husband, as if he's a good husband, Peg, don't blab. Quiet. You made your point. Drop it. You know, but at home, she just blabs all, you know, just go on. I'm not putting her down. I'm just simply saying, she's run by her emotions often. I say, Peg, why are we talking hour after hour after hour and getting nowhere? We're back to where I started from in the first place. I answered your question the first time you asked it. Now it's 7 hours later. We didn't get any sleep or nothing. And where is it we're going? We're right back at the beginning. I don't know. What do you mean? I mean, was all of this just to get my attention or something? Yeah. Yeah. You mean we did all that? Well, why didn't you say so? Because you wouldn't have done it. Oh, man, you are clever. You are clever. That was very good. I agree with you. That was very good. Okay, you won. There you go. You know, so Peggy's clever. She knows how to use these emotions, you see, to get her way. But you know what? That's not really a happy way to do it because you feel miserable even when you win. I tricked him into paying attention to me. You see what I'm saying? That's really not a victory. Hello? Because you don't have a God. You've got to have a God that does things. God, get my husband. Remember Mary? God told her she was going to have a baby, and she told her husband, he said, I'm out of here. And she said, God, get that guy for you. Don't even let him sleep tonight. That's how she did it. And God went and woke Joseph. Joseph, wake up. What? Who's waking me? Me, God.
Nick had an accident that was really irritating. And I didn't nag him, you know, I just let him do it. Whatever. And yesterday morning he got up and he said, well, I'm going to fast today. And I said, for what? And he said, well, he said, I had an attitude. He told me what it was.
Wow.
He said, I had an attitude. He said, that, that I want to hold the Lord. And I said, well, how did you know you did that? And he said, well, I've just been reading the Word and everything, you know. And I thought, wow, you know, because God was starting all the love, you know. He looked stupid.
Amen. See, that's powerful because it's hard for a woman to keep her mouth shut. I mean, you can say it once or twice because men are dull and they don't hear and so on. But you don't want to keep nagging it because then you hate yourself. I mean, you don't feel bad the first couple times you say it, but you want them to respond. But then when they don't, it's like you want to choke them. But then you've stepped over your bounds. Your choking is out. Vengeance is God's. You know. So I want to convince him. But only the Holy Spirit does the convincing. So when you meet a stubborn person, which is anybody else other than you, when you meet a stubborn person, say what you want to say, drop it. That shows you have a God.
That's true. Children, grown, but they still in the purview.
Yeah.
If you're used to, get it.
Right.
So, don't get no, I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah. Right. Right. Amen. And by the way, I don't think it's wrong for women to do that. I just think it's wrong for a man to allow it. I think the man needs to not control her. Just tell her, honey, don't say it 50 times like that. Just say it a couple of times. Turn it over to God. If it doesn't work, sorry for you. Go into your bedroom and, you know, praise God. Because you're not going to control me. You're not going to make me do what I know you think is right and so on. I'm going to be bad and evil. I'm not going to do it. So that's the way men are. Is anybody aware of that? I'm just expressing what all men may or may not say, but I just say it. That's the way men are. They're not going to be controlled. You're not going to be God. You will never be God. I can tell you there has never been a man that's been instructed by a woman. Ever. Not in the history of the world. So you say it, and you repeat it a couple of times because he's dull and didn't pay attention the first couple of times. But then drop it. Now you got to have a God. You got to have a God. Abigail, perfect story in the Bible. I mean, there's a lot of them. But just let it go. Now, if you have a God, you don't sweat it. You don't get emotionally upset because now you're not only not going to ever control that guy, you're going to get stressed out. You're going to get sick. You're going to go crazy thinking you're God. Convincing another person is God's job, never yours. So you can teach somebody. I do it too. I teach, then I drop it. You can only say it. I mean, I say it a million times, but I don't ever say it with any interest. I don't say it like somebody's going to actually do it. I'm always amazed that anyone hears anything. I go, wow, God, wow. I preach for basically Peggy and me. I get a lot out of my messages. I like my messages. I like them. I play them in the car. I laugh and I cry. I mean, I'm convicted by them. They're my messages, but I hear God in them. And Peggy does the same thing. I guarantee you, every time she's at home, she's listening to some tape. Who are you listening to? You know. You listen to one of my tapes? Yeah, the one on happiness. Well, you don't look happy. Well, I know I haven't heard the whole tape yet. It's good, but that's how she gets it. And then she'll get it. She'll come and she'll be right in my face. Jim, I got it. You got what? I got it. You don't bother me anymore. It's great. It's powerful. It's, well, you're definitely right. I didn't do that. That was God. It's powerful because she is a person now. Not a nice person, but a person. How many know that when you're a person, you're not nice? When you're a person, you're not nice. Not a stranger, you should be nice because they'll poke you in the nose. But to your own beloved people, you can't be nice all the time. That would be phony. The sign of love is that we take each other as we are, right? I don't want you to be nice. Just be whatever you want to be. You want to be nice sometimes, next minute be nasty, then next minute be nice again? Fine. I don't want consistency. I don't want people to look like a Christian. I don't have any anxiety that I will ever impact one of you. I have no anxiety about that. If I do, it's purely God. And I'll give thanks to God. So I don't doubt that people will get it. I don't even look. I don't even care who says they got it or who says they didn't get it, because I just believe God. I don't believe I'll ever put out the word that it doesn't produce something. I don't ever believe that I've wasted a Sunday. I don't believe I've ever given a teaching that it didn't produce fruit. But I didn't see it. I didn't even know about it. Usually the best fruit comes up after the church is over. And someone will come up and say, "That was the most powerful message I ever heard." You go, "Really? Why didn't you say something?" I don't know, I was kind of shy. You know, it would have been good. It would have blessed other people. I don't know. So, but that's normal. And sometimes I'll wait for people to say, because I know what I just taught went somewhere. I'm not exactly sure where it went. I think it's on this side over here, you know. I can almost locate it. I don't know how this is. Don't get screwy on me here. But it's almost like I know in the spirit that somebody just took that teaching. I felt it go in. And I also feel the struggle. I feel people struggling. Do you know what I'm saying? When you're a parent, a lover, you know when people are receiving or not receiving. You know that your kid didn't accept it or did. You know it. I don't know how. It's not magic or something. It's not psycho-cybernetics. It's not some kind of crazy thing. It's just, I don't know. There's just kind of a knowing, like, wow. Why did that go in? I just feel people understood. It was powerful. Sunday after church, when that person over there.
Louise.
I couldn't think of your name for anything. When Louise shared, it's like I knew something had gone in. Not because she shared, but I just knew, uh-oh, this is going to be the Holy Spirit now. You just can tell. Sometimes people just talk or something, but sometimes you can just tell. This is going to be of God. And there was a work of God going on. It was powerful. It's powerful. Anyway, spirit, soul, and body. Spiritual growth precedes psychological growth, precedes behavioral obedience. Get this one last. Get this one next. Get this one first. This is the key to this one. Number two is the key to number three. Number one is the key to number two. Don't worry about two and three. Just get number one. Go over number one. Now, that doesn't mean I don't talk about number three or I don't teach on number two. Right? You talk about all of them because you're dealing with real people. And besides, you're not in one place. You're spiritual in this part of your life, you're psychological in this part of your life, and you're behavioral in this part of your life. So you're actually all three at once. It isn't like you go through, you get all the spiritual done, then you get all the psychological done, then you get all the behavioral done. That's the way I teach it, but that's not the way it happens. You might be very mature in certain areas of your life right now, physically, you know, behaviorally. For example, you're pretty regular coming here. That's a behavioral thing. That's miraculous. That what that means is part of your soul is very obedient. That's powerful. So that means you're spiritual and psychological and behavioral. But there are other parts of your life where you're not. So, we're all over the map. But
what is the verse in Daniel that makes you talk about all this?
27? Is it 9:27?
Yes.
9:27. Are you going to...
I'm going to read it.
You're going to read that? Okay.
What is the flesh doing?
Flesh? Okay. There's only two systems here. Flesh and spirit. Either the spirit is in you, the Holy Spirit, dwelling in your spirit, or the flesh spirit is in you, an unholy spirit. If the unholy spirit is in you, then your will is weak, your mind is unclear, always unclear, and your emotions are always unhappy. That's where 99% of the world's population lives. They're under the flesh. So they're subject to the law of sin and death. That's flesh. Then their behavior can be licentious or legalistic, but whatever it is, it's not loving, and it's not free. They're not free. So there's no liberty there. So flesh produces bondage, whereas spirit produces freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, right? So anybody in the flesh, they're not going to have liberty. Even if you give them liberty, they can't keep it. Because they'll fall, they'll take their liberty and turn it into license. So, gee, I'm free right now, I have nothing to do, so I'll go and drink. Immediately be slaves again. The dog will return to his vomit. So you can't set people free. See, with all my knowledge, you'd think I could set everybody free. It doesn't help. It doesn't make any difference. You can have all the knowledge in the world. It doesn't make any difference. You just do what God tells you to do. Just get it yourself. The only one to get is you. You don't worry about everybody else. I've never tried to make Peggy be a Christian or get it or whatever. I just tell it to her and say it to her over and over, a million gazillion times. It's no big deal because I was a slow learner. It took me years to get a hold of this. My head was so bloated that, you know, I couldn't be taught anything because I knew too much. Is anybody in the room like that? No, you just think you're a smart aleck, you know everything. That was me. I was a smart aleck. I know everything. Well, then I didn't have a spirit. I didn't need it. I'm my own God. So that's why it's easy for me to spot people like that, because I was one of those. Now, it's harder for me to spot the legalist type people because I never was a legalist. I never was moral. Now, I was a hypocrite. Just, in other words, I faked it. But I never thought I was really good. I knew I was mean and nasty. I pointed out that Judy and I are alike. And so I'm very good friends toward Judy. Because she's a nasty person. Whereas most people grew up nice. And they, you know, it's just right under the surface for me. It's right there. It just, whoo, pop right up. You know, it's like a snake. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And it's very familiar to me. Sin is just so familiar to me. So it's very hard for me to judge anybody because I'm sinning all the time. It's really hard for me to get my pride going. I'm not saying I don't have pride. I'm just saying that it's hard to keep it going because it goes inordinate right away. It just goes off the scale. Hello? So I have to have a God that constantly chastises me. I want this chastisement. Chastisement doesn't make you born again. Chastisement is after you're born again and you want to start producing, you want to. I have a will that says, oh, I want to do the will of God. Yeah, well, why aren't you doing it? Well, because I need chastisement, spanking. See? You don't learn by words. See, you can get saved by words, but you don't learn by words. Your mind isn't renewed by words. So my servant is not corrected by mere words, but by chastening, spanking, discipline. Oh, man, I'm just not built for that. My natural man doesn't want to be disciplined. Anybody else like me? Everybody is. Yeah, everybody's like that. We don't want to be disciplined. But I'll tell you what, if the Father loves you as a son, he'll chase you. He'll discipline you. He won't spare you from problems. Anybody here have any problems? Yes. You all have, blessed by God, have problems. I mean, not just one. Everybody gets tons of them. They usually come in, you know, groups. You ever notice that? How one problem will come pretty soon, another one, and another one? Like the Job thing. It's just like a pile of things. What? 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 No more calls, please. And every phone call is another disaster.
I'm in the middle of all that right now.
You are right now? Amen. So this is Joe's turn this week. Good.
One thing you said, you said, do you think after all we are influenced by what God said?
Yes. Sure. Yeah. And you know that. You know when you're growing because you know you're dying quicker. You're not so much improving as you're just giving up quicker from the flesh. You can just feel your flesh doesn't have the control it used to have. My flesh used to be so powerful. It was just total, absolute power. Now it's, you know, it has to try to sneak in there because the word, I got too much word in me, it ruins me.
Yeah.
I go to get mad and I can't. I want to choke Peggy and, you know, I just can't do it. I do. Don't you ever want to do that? I just want to kill people on the highway and stuff like that? I do, right? It's just road rage. Don't you all have that? I mean,
yeah.
It just comes up right away, but then being a Christian, I'll praise you. It can't go as far as it used to go. I used to be just so controlled by anger and lust and bitterness and jealousy and everything, greed. And it just doesn't go anywhere now. I find myself reading the Bible and stuff. It's just like a waste of time. I'm going to read the Bible. I could be doing something. I find I want to. And I get into it and I love it. You know, it's like, wow, I am so glad I did this rather than my flesh wanted to watch another TV program or something. Now that Margaret is gone and nobody's turning the TV on, except for New Orleans, I bet I haven't watched TV for the whatever long she's been gone, over a month now. We just don't watch it. I don't. And I don't think Peggy does either. So it's just like a worthless box. So if there weren't some crisis going on in the nation right now, I wouldn't watch it at all. Because I don't have any programs I watch, you know, Wheel of Fortune or whatever they are. I don't know what they're called. But whatever they are, I never watch those. I don't watch anything. But I like to watch this New Orleans thing. Fascinating, because it's sort of like a picture of America gone down the drain. Amen? Don't you all find that? I mean, you look at that and think, thank God I'm not in New Orleans. You know, but at the same time, they're our neighbors. And now we have 250,000 people here, and maybe it's going to even grow. We have over 250,000 people from New Orleans. And we've got some right in our own family, so we've got a bunch of them here. It's great. I think it's powerful, but it's wrong. These are bad policies that do this. They're not just going out for a few days. You understand that. They're not going back. This is a total dislocation, not a smart move. This is government playing God again, rearranging people's lives, putting them under FEMA, putting them under control, putting them under military. You understand? This is not liberty, people. I just want you to know that. This is a bad policy. The ancient Assyrians used it. The Babylonians used it. It is the worst thing you can do to the people. That's how the Jewish people got destroyed. That was the greatest punishment of all, that some foreign nation would take them and say, you're going here and you're going here and you're going... Wow! That happened over and over again. That's how you can tell the beast system. Now here we're doing it. This is not right. We did the same thing to the Indians. We did it to the Japanese. You know, it's not a smart move. Stop helping. You're not going to help America. Let people take care of themselves. Do you know that people are resourceful? Churches could handle this thing. You know, single-handedly, I could have done it. I'm serious. This is stupid. Let the people do it themselves. We've got contacts everywhere. We could reach out and help out, but the government thinks it's God because it wants to collect more taxes from you. You're paying for everything, by the way. Hope you understand that. You're paying for everything. At first you think it sounds free. It's not. You pay later. Enjoy the benefit today because you're going to pay later. And it's never going to work out. And the people they're going to bring out, it's not going to work. Those people are, they're not, you know, they deliberately left all of the criminal element. You know, when this flood came, they let all the criminals out of prison. You know that. Okay, when the flood hit, they immediately released the prisoners so that they came out and shot the helicopter. That was criminals. You all understand that, don't you? They just let them out. I mean, they didn't want to leave them in jail to drown. Let them out. So the poorest people and the most criminal element were left there deliberately, didn't get on buses and go out. They took the others. The docile ones. Of course. Of course. That's why they shot them the other day. They shot six of them, or five of them, or whatever. Anyway, the point is, they know what they're doing. This is not, it's not like FEMA never thought of this eventuality. Nobody ever thought there might be a flood in New Orleans. They've known about this for 100 years, 200 years, 250 years. Everybody has known New Orleans was a city built on a flood. I mean, everybody's known it. And there are lots of cities in the world that are built on floods, but New Orleans is the worst. Of all the cities in the world, it's the worst. So it could become a Venice. But we have plans. You remember when Nero fiddled while Rome burned? Good. Let it burn so I can now put out my sustainable development project.
That's right.
Because New Orleans is going to be the next sustainable development. We'll turn that back into wetland.